You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Belly dance, also known as Arabic dance, is an Arabic expressive dance which originated in Egypt. Now, this dance emphasizes complex movements of the torso, and it has evolved to take many different forms depending upon the country or the region. And we're talking about either in costume or in dance style. Joining me to talk more about this art form and its importance are Cecilia Rin, director of Boise's Star Belly Dance, and belly dancer Tori King. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
So, Cecilia, when I was doing some research on this, I have to be honest, I had no idea where belly dancing originated from. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, belly dancing, and there's quite a bit of controversy about the name of belly dance. Mm-hmm. But the proper term for it is Rakshaki, and Raks. And I say that very, like I'm an Idahoan. Very, very nice. I don't roll any of it. But rocks means...
We understand.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. I just want to disclaim that when I'm saying it. So rocks means dance in Arabic. And sharki is in reference to the Orient or the Middle East. So Rakshaki is actually a recognized dance form across the globe.
But, interesting.
Yeah. So, but we know of it as belly dance. And I'm not going to say that it's not known across the globe as belly dance also, because mm-hmm. that name just stuck really well. And there's some theories of where the name came from. But as you said, it originated in Egypt. It's definitely a Middle Eastern dance form. And its roots are in folkloric dance. And what I mean by that is what the people do to celebrate. That's where folkloric dance comes from. And I always talk to my audiences about folkloric dance, of how hard it is to recognize what the folkloric dances are that we do right now today when we party and when we go boogie and what we do
when all the kids are dabbing now and all of that.
That will be folklore in when it becomes history.
That may become folklore.
Okay. Maybe.
Oh, okay, let's go back to the Macarena, right? Now we're going back 20 plus years. My 7-year-old is doing that right now.
Okay.
So is that when we talk about, folkloric? I mean, it sounds silly, but it, that's what we talk about.
Exactly. And then when it's farther enough in the past
or a different cultural,
some of it should, yeah. But it's a different culture, then it takes on this really, this ambiance. Of folkloric,
And Tori, as a dancer yourself, there is something very beautiful about the form of belly dance, and how just the female form. How does that play into it as well?
So I like to precurse when I talk about Rakshaki. Did I do a good job, audience? just with the fact that I was previously a ballet dancer. And I talk about ballet because ballet also started kind of folklorically mm-hmm. as well, if you delve into the history. But its lines and aesthetic are very different in that ballet seeks perfect lines with arms and legs in a generic form, whereas Rakshaki is undulations of our torso and really showing off our feminine form. What Cecilia teaches in the very first class when she has her brand new students is that society pushes us into these perfectly erect stances, suck in your stomach, stand up straight. But in order to belly dance, you got to relax. Shimmying is jiggling.
But that goes against everything culturally in the United States when it comes to women.
Absolutely. But the thing is there is no more ergonomic dance than belly dance. I had to stop ballet because of my knees and my ankles. And belly dance, I mean, maybe people won't want to watch me, but I'll be able to do it till I'm 80.
See, and that's something to it. What I thought was interesting, too, is when we talk about the distinct social context of Rakshaki or belly dance, and that is as a folk or a social dance, but as performance art, too. Is that accurate?
Correct. Well, it started as folkloric dance.
Right.
And to stick in here real quick, we always think of belly dance as being feminine mm-hmm. and being just for women. And that kind of comes from our Western culture that only women dance, mm-hmm. women or gay men, but not like that's kind of been the Western idea, the American idea. But you look at different cultures, especially like Latin cultures, the men,
they dance.
Dance, right? And so we have, we have a male instructor at our school. And if you look at the culture of it, the men and women dance, like the men dance just mm-hmm. as much as the women. you know, we just think of belly dance as just women. And we've a lot of times thought of it as something that women do to entice men sexually, which, again, that's one of the big misconceptions.
I was going to say, is that like
that
a bit...
a sexual thing? That's definitely a misconception.
It's one of the biggest ones that we have when... Yeah. The first thing we say is that we are rock sharky dancers. Then we get a, what's that? Then you say folkloric, modern, Middle Eastern dance. Then another, what's that? Then belly dance. Then you get the eyebrow and,
Okay.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with dancing sexually or sexual dancing, but that's not what we do.
And that's a huge distinction to make.
Yes. I mean, our costumes are in Western society very provocative. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we decorate what we want people to see, and we're shimmying our chests and our hips. And for some reason, some people find it audacious here. But at the same time, there's something, the reason belly dance has continued on through the centuries is it's so alluring, and the movement is beautiful, and it's natural, and it's of the earth, and it involves a lot of just personal freedom and using what you have personally, like using what you got. And that's why people, especially women and men too, here love it. You have a lot of male students, don't you, Cecilia?
Yeah, we do. We're really happy about that. Absolutely.
And do you see it too? Is there a story that's being told when this is happening?
Absolutely. What is really quintessential about rock sharky, about belly dance, is the interpretation of the music. So it's not like hula or Polynesian where it's telling like a literal story, but the music is really highly emotional, and the movements are telling this emotional story. I think that's where people see that it's so sensual and so beautiful. But the music in Egypt is so important to their culture. It is so important to their hearts. They haven't, for many reasons politically, people have not been able to speak up about politics. And so the music, even though it's usually talking about love, is also talking, I think more importantly, about the love of their country, the love of their people, and the heartbreak that they have to go through a lot of times.
So a lot of that plays into when you think of art and you think of art forms and then you think of politics and how all of that can play into music and to dance. There's also that in this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's quintessential to what it is. And such an emotionally expressive form, because we kind of hold most of our emotions in our torso. You know, it's in our chest. It's in our stomachs. You know, like we feel things in there. That's where our emotions lay.
Right.
So when you're doing this undulation and your stomach's contracting and rolling, and it's very flooded with emotion. And that's what's so amazing about belly dance, about rock sharky, is that everybody gets to celebrate the body they're in, not the body they think they should have, the body that they had when they were 20. It can be the body they have when they're 80. It can be the body, you know, it's the body they have at that moment, and they get to celebrate it, and they get to emote and tell a story. Everyone has a unique life experience and a story to tell, and they get to say it in a way, because dance is a language. So they get to say it through the body, which can be interpreted to anybody. Like, you don't have to speak the same verbal language to be able to understand what someone is saying when they dance. And that's super powerful.
I'm speaking with Cecilia Wren, director of Boise's Star Belly Dance and belly dancer Tori King. And you have an event coming up at the Visual Art Collective in Garden City. So talk to me about this, Tori.
Yes, we do. It is our 9th annual Big Badass Belly Dance Show. and it's named Elements, and it is themed about the classic elements, not the periodic table, but earth, fire, air, water. And we decided to interpret this classic theme, in addition to animals and creatures we feel represent these elements to us, in dance form. And it's our professional performance troupe in collaboration with a great local dance company, Fuse Dance Collaboration, and a local musician, Matt Voorhees, and that's who all we're collaborating with this time around. But this event has become like a really great feather in our cap, you know, to use the creatures theme, because we really get to push the boundaries of what is rock sharky, what is traditional, what is the new folklore. And I really do believe that we have some of the edgiest belly dance in maybe the country, maybe the whole world, in your backyard.
And who knew, right?
Well,
so
we knew.
You've always known. So it's at the Visual Art Collective in Garden City. When and where is it if people want to experience this?
this weekend, so Friday and Saturday night. Doors open at 8. The show's from 9 to 11. So that'll be February 22nd and 23rd.
And part of it, too, part of the funds is to actually be able to help people who might be interested in experiencing this come to a class.
Absolutely. So part of the proceeds of the show, we have a silent auction, go to the scholarship program of Starbelly School of Dance, which is Cecilia's dance school. And these funds go to students who, for whatever life reason, may not be able to pay some of their tuition or a merit-based scholarship. Because when you think about it, when traumas happen to you in your life, art should not be taken away because you cannot pay. And I think that it's nice to have an adult scholarship for that, because we focus a lot on youth and their development, but we develop throughout our whole lives. And a lot of the people who discover belly dance for the first time, I mean, I was 26 when I first discovered it. I thought my professional dancing days were over. And then all of a sudden, I had this new life.
And what was that like for you?
You know, it was very humbling. I was telling some of our friends outside who were on this program that dance has always been very easy for me. I mean, I was a professional ballerina. Like, I was vain about it all. And then the very first dance class I took, using this whole new motion that was so emotional to me in a new way, I was just like, I can't move. I can't do it. Wow. And then it's continued to humble me along my path, because it's for people. Like, it's the first dance form for me that was so much more about myself and my lines and my perfection portrayed to the audience for a story. It was my interpretation of myself and the music, which is, it's neat. And everyone deserves that. And without exception, when everyone expresses that, because you can in belly dance, no matter your age, shape, size, ability, it is gorgeous. When you put aside the conceptions that you have about beauty and what dance should look like, belly dancing is the most beautiful dance form.
I want to thank both of you for coming in and getting us more educated on Rock Sharky, belly dance, as we know it here in the United States. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
My guest today is Cecilia Wren, director of Boise Star Belly Dance, and belly dancer Tori King. Their performances will be at the Visual Art Collective in Garden City this weekend. Thanks so much again, ladies.